Here we go, Thursday podcast. Never a dull moment at Redskins Park.
No, never a dull moment. There is the doctor. He is walking out the building.
Who is he evaluating?
I think he's evaluating whether his car is going to start in this somewhat cold weather, but he is a man of means. I believe his car is going to start.
He should actually start wearing medical equipment to work, Doc Walker, so we can call him the doctor.
You should start wearing stuff. Do you own anything other than It just hit me. You have only worn Redskin gear the last 16, 17, 18 years. How many years? I don't even know.
I have other things.
16 years.
Yeah, no, I like our organization. Proud to wear Redskin stuff. I wear Redskin stuff almost every day. I don't wear Redskins pants or shoes.
No, but you don't need as many bottoms as you do tops, being you.
Okay, well, let me propose this theory, because you have Redskin stuff on.
I wear Redskin stuff every day. I think I got Redskins on Redskin stuff. Oh. No. Today I got Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame under Redskin stuff. Hall of Fame counts as NFL stuff, which in theory you can wear to work. You come to work at this building, yes. You should wear Redskin stuff.
I agree. A lot of people complain they don't get enough gear here. You know, you got guys in accounting and different places who they see, you know, I get gear.
They're jealous of our gear.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of a walking mannequin at times, but
there was always that rule among the players that you should not wear Redskin stuff out of the building.
Yeah. That's particularly true at training camp in Richmond.
Yeah.
Most recently. If you get seen, me and you, we're shunned.
No.
Well, I mean, not shunned.
Well, I'm going to wear Redskin stuff at Richmond in training camp, but I'm not a player.
That's true.
Working here.
You were no
proud of the place that I'm working for. But the players, there was always this rule that if you went out somewhere, you can't wear Redskins stuff. It's hard in Richmond, though, because how much are you going to pack to go to Richmond or to training camp in general? You got a little room. You got all your gear. They wash all your gear for you.
Yeah.
Let's say you get back from practice or meeting at 4 o'clock and you got another meeting at 7 o'clock. You want to go grab dinner somewhere. You got to go to your room and change so you don't wear Redskin stuff to dinner. And then you got to go back and I don't know, man.
You want to hear a good road trip Richmond story about clothes getting cleaned? One of our former shooters, videographers, was there. And, you know, you don't only bring so many clothes. Mm-hmm. So he's at the hotel and he puts into the hotel to dry clean all of his clothes. Now, he had nothing that needed to be dry cleaned. Mm-hmm. All he had was T-shirts, shorts, socks, underwear, maybe some golf shirts. All of it dry cleaned, $175 dry cleaning bill.
He didn't expect that to be the bill. What do you think it was going to be? $175 is actually, it's a lot. But it's in the hotel, right?
Yeah, but he asked to get it dry cleaned. He didn't ask him to do the laundry. He asked him to dry clean his socks. I'm serious, Stevie. Guy was asked to, he's a dummy. He was, but anyway, you know, you live and learn. He never did that again because he didn't get reimbursed.
And these socks feel pressed.
Yes. Yeah, kind of chemical smell on these socks.
They felt new. I like it.
I mean, do you ever go to the cleaners? Do you take stuff to the cleaner still?
Uh-huh. I take stuff to the cleaner.
For yourself or just Maddie?
Well, she takes the things that she doesn't want to wash.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. A lot of times, it doesn't matter who takes it. There's no order in who takes it or who does what.
No, I'm just saying, I phrased that wrong. Is it more your items when you go?
Yeah, more mine.
It's more of your items.
Collared shirts and coats and suits and stuff.
Yes. See, that's same here, because I'll go to the cleaner, she'll go to the cleaners, but it's mostly my stuff, really. I don't know why. Why are we dry cleaning all our stuff and they're not?
I mean, you would take a dress because you wear things more often. Yeah. But I actually haven't worn a collar or button up shirt in as long as I can remember. So we do the coaches show every week.
We quit doing.
And we've
that
done it for however long. And when Mike Shanahan was here, it was like let's go full suit.
Yeah,
let's look nice. And then the first couple of years of Jay, it was look nice. And then remember, Jay started coming in and doing this. I thought we were wearing jackets today. We're you and I have suit and ties, and then 2 weeks later, Jay comes in a suit and tie, and we got jackets on. He never wanted to get on the same page, so we just basically made a jacket rule, and then
Then you broke that rule, and I kind of followed, because we just wear Redskins gear on the show.
Yeah.
Why not? It makes life easy.
So we can just wear Redskins gear. I'm completely good with that.
Now, have you seen Dwayne Haskins' My Cause, My Cleats shoes. Now, you have to have good, strong ankles to wear these shoes, I want you to know. I loved what he did at the podium yesterday. Another guy, they kept asking him, and he has a little bit of John Allen in him, Cooley, when it comes to answering a question that he might think is something he really doesn't want to answer. If he has a strong opinion about something, he'll give you the one or two word answer.
So, give me the example.
I like it. Well, you can look it up, Redskins.com. At the end of his press conference, a gentleman asked him about, you know, did anybody talk to you about coming out of the game? What discussions did you have about coming out of the game? This is the very end of the press conference. He goes,
none.
I didn't. I just played. Done. Press conference over. I didn't. I just played.
Yeah, so to his defense a little bit in this.
You thought they should have pulled him out.
No.
Well, on the air.
No, I mentioned on the air that we should think about getting him out of the game. Not that they should pull him out, but yeah. I said you got to start thinking about whether or not he can play, because there was a point where he gave a handoff that we thought he tripped. We looked back, said he might have tripped. I've watched it on film. I'm not sure if he did or didn't, that Steven Sims in the fly motion tripped him. Or
I thought it was a lineman that
stepped on him a little bit.
Yeah,
but
you didn't see it on the tape?
He couldn't recover, and he was limping around at what we're now calling a completely mild sprain. It looked like
laboring.
A broken ankle.
What would CC do?
Well,
listen.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest here.
You've played much worse injuries than a slight sprained ankle.
So
you've played with a severely sprained ankle. You played with a broken hand or whatever. Doesn't everybody have an injury out there similar to that? I mean,
yeah, they do. But this is what I hear all the time. When you ever talk about being involved in football or coaching or doing anything like that, well, it's going to be hard for you because nobody's going to do it the way that you did it. Or you're going to have these. No. I have, playing for as long as I played and being here, I have so much empathy for how certain people handle injuries. Everyone handles them differently. Everybody feels differently. They're all different. Now, the injuries can be the same, but how that player responds to injury is not by choice, in my opinion, as much as it is in the nature of it. It's not the nurture side of it. It's the nature side of it.
Wait a minute. You're losing me, but let me see if I'm getting it right. So it's not his choice. It's not his choice at that moment. It's who he is coming into that moment.
Yeah, how his body whatever's going on in his brain, his body is telling him how he feels.
Right.
Somebody else can have a very mild sprained ankle and go, I don't even want any tape. It's fine. Like, I'm cool. And you don't.
Walk it off.
Walk it off, rub some dirt on it. And some guys can go, this is really bothering me.
Right.
And you can have trainers go, you're fine. It's fine. And I don't know exactly what happened. I'm not suggesting that was the case with Dwayne in any way. I'm just saying.
We really don't know.
I have a lot of empathy for guys that are hurt in certain ways. I do prefer toughness. He did stay in the game.
He did. He did.
So in
hindsight.
He's
competitive in the game. I think there was a couple times he wanted to go, and he thought that 2-point conversion is an example. You know, he went for that, you know,
he didn't look hobbled.
He didn't run as fast as he normally
does. Adrenaline took over for him a little bit late in the game.
Oh, has to. Doesn't it have to? I mean, and he played well. He didn't cave in the moment. I think it's just, as the week has progressed for me, the focus on the quarterback for the Washington Redskins, the focus on this quarterback for the Washington Redskins is so precise. It's so intense. The focus on him, every single thing he does, every single pass, everything that even comes up, like a sprained ankle, like the things he says, his wrist, the podium, everything he does. And it's just the way it is. Because you've got other guys on the field who probably have sprained their ankle worse during that very game who you don't even know what happened to them. You don't even know what happened because he got taped up. But at the quarterback position, boy, you everybody.
No. If you limp the way he limped at any position, we're all going to know that you got hurt.
I've seen guys stay in a game limping like that a bunch of times.
Yeah, I know. Our training staff, Larry Hess and Dr. Robin West, and they do a good job. They went and looked at it.
Yeah.
And they, trust me, they've seen some sprained ankles before.
Seen a lot
now.
Of worse, too.
They've seen a lot of those deals. And if he had come into this building on Monday and he had a balloon on his ankle, maybe he hurt it worse, then you would think about that. But they're Look, after the Robert deal, I'm sure that they're very acutely aware of not always just trusting the player on saying, I can play or I can't play.
Well, they got to clear him to play, right, though, right? On the sideline, yeah. They got to clear him and say, okay, you can go.
But so many times, especially before you've had anything, you get the benefit of the doubt at least once. When you say as a player, I'm fine, I can go.
Right.
They'll give you the benefit of the doubt the first time. If you are wrong on that one, now you're going to have some decisions made for you after that point.
So what type of equity has he built on the sideline? Because he went, he finished.
Well, we can believe him when he says he can go. We believe him when he says he can go.
Right.
I think he's built equity in terms of the training staff trust that he knows when he can go and when he can't go.
So I'm saying they've got an honest relationship.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't coming out no matter what, though. He told me that. He said he wasn't coming out.
I would.
But obviously, if you're not.
No, in his position, you don't want to come out of that game.
No. And if you're hurt enough to have to come out, then come out. If you're not, I mean, and again, you make the point a lot more precisely than me. Only he knows what he was feeling and how bad that was at the time. But full practice today, it's old news. Just like the selfie before, I mean, it's just everything this guy does is going to be scrutinized, good, bad, indifferent, you know.
Because, start being aware of it.
Yeah, no, every single moment. And there was the clandestine sideline video of him on the offensive line that one week where he was giving him the business. Heat of the battle conversation on the sideline. Everybody overthought that, and everybody's overthinking everything when it comes to him.
But he's also got to be aware that he put his offensive linemen in a position where, based on that video, they look like they're not doing their job.
Huh.
So I think that's a learning moment for him, because that's not necessarily the way that you would want to have that conversation if you were being videoed. I have no problem with him having that conversation. I never did have a problem with him having that. But read between the lines, and I'm not saying he said this. Read between the lines means perceive it any way you want to perceive it. And a lot of people said, man, dude's offensive line can't protect him. Sucks.
Yeah.
Well, and that, if you're an offensive lineman, everyone's calling you like, what's going on here?
Yeah,
why can't you? Yeah. What's going on with the quarterback? Why can't you guys fix it? So he's just got to understand you're always on video. And in understanding that, if you start doing those things on the field, offensive linemen are going to do what they did and go, away from us.
Yeah.
Go have that conversation.
He didn't know he was on video.
But these are all things that are what it takes to become a leader and learning and understanding and growing. It's not.
This chair is horrible.
It's not Columbus, Ohio anymore.
This chair is horrible, Stevie. This chair I'm sitting in right now, it's on the list. It's very uncomfortable. How comfortable is that chair? Is that a comfortable chair?
It's,
is it fair to Midland?
Midland?
In the middle? Is it okay?
Texas?
This chair sucks, okay? This chair sucks. My legs are falling asleep. It's like an inclined bench on your legs right there. My legs right at the middle of my hamstring.
You want to sit Indian style on the floor?
No. I this doesn't hurt so much.
Are you just trying to buy equity here to say that you're tough enough to do a show? Is that what you're doing? Are you just trying to show me that you're tough enough so I believe in you?
I'm telling the boss over here we need new chairs, okay?
Can't wait to watch you limp out of here. Oh, I can't believe I
all over exaggerated a little for you just to make a point that, you know, this has not been the most comfortable podcast, even though I love the conversation. It's great conversation because we're really diving deep into something that I think a lot of people have their own opinion on. But you played, you know, you've been around these guys, you're here now, you know everybody's disposition, Dwayne especially. You know, I think it's really interesting. I can't say this was like you. But to see a guy come in, and Dwayne's a very young guy. How old were you when you got here? 23? Were you 24?
22 or 23.
You're 22, 23?
I think it was 22.
22?
18, my first year of college, 19, 20, 21. Well, yeah, 20, I was 22. I was 22.
In 04. Four, you
I was
were
born
22.
In 82, so there you go.
Okay, it's 22, isn't it? Mm. Well, everybody has a different maturity level. Especially when you see a guy at a podium or being put in those positions. And I really see the guy maturing in everything he's doing. It's very interesting to see. That's one of the things I love about being here, especially someone in a unique circumstance where there's a lot of pressure on him. He's impervious to it, apparently. Outwardly, he's impervious. The guy does not show a lot of emotion. I kind of like that in my quarterback, but he also has a little fire. Maybe he's holding himself back a little bit.
He might be. And by no means am I going to judge some of these press conferences and hold him accountable for his career. You know as well as anybody that I know what I was as a young player. You and our guy Mark Dress and our Redskins staff were instrumental in me understanding. Now, he's got a little bit of an outlier. Like, he's spent time in front of a camera. At 22 years old, I came in and had really never done any interviews. I used to... And
you
I'm,
were a natural. I'll never, you were a natural.
No, I wasn't.
I wasn't.
I remember I remember I used to, at times, get lost staring directly into a camera lens and lose all train of thought and just sit there and look at the camera lens. And then I'd stop and go, you get to the point where, like, I honestly don't even know what I'm saying now. Can you just ask me the question again? I'm lost. It was embarrassing. So, yeah, you're young. You have to learn. A lot of it is studying. A lot of it is working with PR people, coaches. A lot of it is trial and error.
Yeah,
though.
But you're coming. Compare your two backgrounds and what college he's coming from.
That's what
from.
I said. He spent a lot of time, and he was a quarterback, but only for a year.
Right.
He didn't spend a lot of time in front of a camera before a year. And there's also this new world of when I was talking in front of a camera, if it got transcribed or written into the post, which was incredibly unlikely, those were small cut-ups. We're taking everything online, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And now
everybody's
judging it in the way you say it and how you say it and your body language. I mean, it got to the point before Jay was gone that we didn't even listen to what he said. Everybody just watched it. You had to watch it and go, watch how he's acting.
Yeah.
He's saying one thing, but his body's telling you something entirely different.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see a guy progress.
There was no podcast on the Redskins app.
No, there was no Redskins app.
There was no watch the head coach. You might listen to it on the radio later.
Coach Shanahan, that was a good show we did with Coach Shanahan. He would come in. We'd go into his office, and he'd have the little laser thing, and he'd cut down the plays. This is the predecessor to the Cooley film breakdown. He would have the laser, and he'd have that clicker, and he'd go back. And these guys, folks, let me tell you something. Cooley is like this. I don't know. I can't do it. But the clicker, the reverse action on the clicker, the back and forth, the fat, that is so ingrained in his hand. That hand-brain coordination between the clicker, and I guess the old clickers were even more clunky, right? I mean, older technology.
The ones that the coaches use in all their offices are pretty much the same.
But same.
This
still.
Is going to lead me into something else, this film thing that I wanted to get to. But I have – so the NFL all uses XOS or XOS program.
Yes.
High schools all use what's called a huddle. My XOS clicker is a wireless clicker. So there's no wire to computer.
Right.
And for a while there when I was using a different – I won't say it.
Yes.
Different
– technology.
What are these things called?
Tablet.
The clicker was slow, man. It was like sometimes it would glitch and stuff. But now my wireless clicker's just like anything, and I can sit in front of my television at home.
Is that
I can literally screen mirror and sit with my remote, and it's amazing.
It's the same. Does it look like the Apple TV clicker, the XOS clicker? It looks the same, right? Except it's like white or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen you have it. It looks like my Apple TV remote.
Yeah, it's almost, yeah.
Or the similar size.
Or the Samsung, the new Samsung remote.
Yeah, similar size. Very, very small.
But that said, all the coaches, and when you watch film in the coaches' offices or with any of the scouts, they have the wire clicker. The buttons are in a different spot. Oh, my gosh.
That'll screw you up.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, pause, play, pause, back, forward. I don't know where I'm at. Then you got to look at it.
Hope you don't need to erase anything.
Like, it's literally like learning. It's hunting peck when you don't know how to type. It'd be like changing the keys on a keypad.
I got you.
Imagine trying to type with new keys. Because how much film have I watched with this one clicker? Lots.
This
is the best. It might be the best purchase of my life. That clicker.
I wonder if you had been born like a generation ago, because it wouldn't have been two generations ago. If you had been born a generation earlier, would you have been into film as much as you are now if it was actually film on a reel
on an old
film machine?
Uh-uh. And the point is that nobody, unless they were coaching, would have been.
Because it's just too slow. It takes forever to do it. I mean, you get these tapes from people.
Oh, well,
getting a cut-up is crazy, man.
Before the tapes, you were getting the reels.
That's what I mean.
And to get a cut-up, you had to splice.
Yes, yes.
And tape.
Yeah.
Or glue.
It'd be tape. It's cut with a there's a blade and you tape it and you put it together.
Oh,
and it's a,
my gosh.
I'm a pretty good blade man myself when it comes to audio. I want you to know I edited a lot of audio tape with that blade and that tape, and you can't do that with a shaky hand, Cooley.
That
you got
said,
a shaky
though,
hand, you just screw that video up.
It's true. You don't want to screw it up though, because you only got one.
You only got one. Nowadays, heck, send me a download. Send me a link.
No. As soon as this gets put onto, anything gets put into our system.
Bingo.
Upload, boom, 20 seconds. Here we go. Watch it all.
Look at the way Santos walks.
He's spry.
Kind of got that millionaire walk going, like Conor McGregor a little bit, or Vince McMahon, that billionaire walk. You know what I mean? Like this.
Oh, yeah.
You seen what Conor McGregor does?
He's kind of
Santos
flinging his arms and stuff. Like, yeah, he's got, like he's done something today.
It's almost like overly swinging his arms, like a very confident walk.
Okay. Here we go. actually, while we do that.
You got to read. I got you laughing. That's good.
Whether on the field or in the classroom, the Washington Redskins believe learning should be fun because it should be, Larry.
Yes.
And that's why we partnered with youth entrepreneurs to bring their engaging hands-on style of learning to classrooms in the D.C. metro area. Youth Entrepreneurs curriculum was created by educators for educators, which means it's flexible, fun, and absolutely free.
Free.
To learn more about Youth Entrepreneurs and how to experience it for yourself, this is the website. GetYE.org.
Yeah, Y-E.org.
Y-E.org.
And
you know, when you put those in read, you got to write dash in words.
Youth Entrepreneurs, outstanding program. Terry McLaurin is part of that now. And did you say Ute? You did. Hey, Stevie, what did I say yesterday? I said Ute, too.
Youth.
He said Ute the first time. I think he said Ute, which is not his school. He's an Aggie.
Let's
not a Ute.
Helping people improve their lives is what should drive business. That's the belief at Koch Industries, which employs more than 65,000 people across America. The team at Koch works together to meet the world's changing needs in transportation, medical care, water filtration, household goods, energy-efficient building products, and everyday technologies, all while consuming fewer resources. See the innovations firsthand at KOCH, that's KochIndustries.com. And now, some DC travel wisdom. The old saying goes, if you want to go fast, go to Dulles. The airport access highway gets you there from D.C. in as little as 30 minutes. But if you want to go far, also go to Dulles, where you can fly nonstop to 145 destinations. That's 45% more than any other airport in the region. Find out how else you can travel wisely at flydulles.com/wise. Let's trend down a new path here.
Okay, take me anywhere.
I watch a lot of film for fun, no reason. But when I watch it, I try to do it the way an NFL scout would or an NFL coach would. That's what they do. So when you watch, like I'm watching all of the potential free agent tight ends. There's like 40 of these guys that could be free agents this year.
Tony Burke's from one of them?
He is, theoretically, yes.
Many more snaps at tight end than any other position for him this year.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. There is a tight end for the Bears that wears number 85 that's like 300 pounds.
I've seen 300 pounds.
He runs routes.
Yeah.
He's terrible. Sorry, guy.
The Ravens have that defensive lineman,
Ricard. He's not terrible. He's an offensive lineman tight end. Not Bergstrom is a better blocker. This guy runs some routes. He's never caught a ball. He stumbles downfield a lot. It's almost funny to watch him. But he's got like 40 total plays or 80 total plays. It takes 5 minutes. So anyways, I do this. I'm trying to write it up, but just for myself. At some point, I might want it.
Right, right.
At some point, I might need it.
You're a tight end.
At some point next year.
You know what you're looking at.
Or the next year or the next year, you might go back and say, what was my evaluation of 2015? And I have these filed for however long. And
I believe your hoarding is going to come through one day.
If not, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
So when I watch these guys, essentially film's really cool because the guys that aren't playing a lot, you can filter in a million ways. Like, one, you could just watch every game, and Bears 80, you could just filter all plays that involve 85, and there are the 9 plays from the game that number 85
played. You just search for that? Plays. It sorts it out?
You sort it to 9 plays. You could say all catches by 85, 0 plays. He has 0 catches, so it would have 0 plays. You could say all run plays by 85, all pass plays by 85. You could do it in any – you could say all 2 tight end sets with 85. Millions of ways you could do this. But when I'm doing this, like, I got to watch through every game – because there are so many things that you can see, not see, miss, if you don't watch the whole if you don't watch all the plays.
Right.
But you also got to remember, like,
proper context. You're talking about
the context of the guy. Yeah, you know, how I like to start at, you know, I honestly like to start at the last game to see where they're at. But then I go through the whole, like, I'll go through the season, game one through wherever, and I'll have that feel of how they're progressing through the season, how they're managing things.
So if you're looking at a tight end for X team, whatever team.
Hunter Henry, Los Angeles Chargers.
Fine.
Coming off an ACL.
How long is it going to take you to go through that tape?
Well, Hunter Henry plays 80% of snaps for the Chargers.
Okay.
And so if you're just watching that one guy, not really evaluating scheme, looking at what he's at, you take scheme into account, but I know what schemes they're operating in.
Right.
20 minutes a game, 15, 20 minutes a game. So 2 hours to go through a season, something like that. Maybe 10 to 15 minutes a game.
And you stop and take notes along the way and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I got them all typed up, and I actually went back and retyped all my notes.
But are a copious note taker.
Yeah, no, like, you go through and you type all these notes up and you write all these things up.
But yeah.
And then, like, I try to do one side positives, one side negatives, the attributes that he has. And you just go through and you write all the notes up. And so he's actually.
I guess you can't talk about this, though, can you?
No, I can talk about this. This is my project. He's actually the premier free agent tight end. Austin Hooper in Atlanta, really, really good player, and this kid, Hunter Henry, are the two, like, top-tier number one guys. I don't think he makes it out of
L.A.
They have some cap room. He's
Philip Rivers' his contract's up. So you think they re-sign him?
I don't know. I don't know what they do with Philip Rivers.
I like Philip Rivers.
I watch a game with Philip Rivers, especially one in L.A., and just listen to him and watch him pre-snap.
Oh, really?
He's an offensive coordinator on the field. It's fun to watch.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He'll put you here, do this. He'll talk to the defense.
I know.
He's having fun and doing it. I like Philip Rivers.
Yeah, he's out there, isn't he? I mean, he's entertaining.
Yeah, he's entertaining. But, you know, the other thing that people do, and I know you can do this, is you could say, hey, let's throw on Hunter Henry's catch tape. Okay? We're going to see all his catches.
You know people that do this other than you?
You could do this if we wanted to do this. So I would say, let's just filter catches by Hunter Henry.
Right.
Right? And he's got... 43 catches or something like that.
Boom,
you're going to watch his catch tape. Put on catch tape and watch Pittsburgh for Hunter Henry. Like
this for you, dude, that must be a lot of fun.
This dude's a freaking baller, and he is. But then if you don't put on his non-catch tape, you're like, why does he not get open at times? Or does he get open more often than he doesn't? And they're not getting him the ball in situations. Do you see a lot of things like Austin Hooper, for example?
Again, I'm talking about the context, right?
Hooper has most of his catches against zone coverage. And so if you just watched his catch tape, you'd say, this guy's a zone beater, kind of find a hole guy. Why?
Right.
I mean, I could go watch, but I'm assuming because 60-some catches, 50 of them are against zone, that he's probably not winning against man, which is not true at all because Hooper does win against man-to-man. It's just when you play the Falcons in man-to-man, they're going to go to Julio Jones or they're going to go to Calvin Ridley or they're going to go to one.
That is your deduction.
Like things that,
and Matt Ryan obviously got to factor in.
I'm just saying, if you don't watch all this stuff with all of the filters currently possible, it makes it easy to cheat.
How would you cheat? Cheat? What do you mean cheat?
Being able to watch impact plays, not watch all plays. You know when?
What do you mean cheat? Who's cheating though? You're cheating yourself.
Like if I wanted to watch film and give you an evaluation of Hunter Henry, I could give you a 90% composite evaluation by watching about a third of his plays.
Right.
Or an 80%.
But if you didn't watch that many.
But what is that last 20%? Like, how much does that factor into who he is?
Could be positive, could be negative.
But the thing is this is wild where we're getting to. Because Pro Football Focus is dividing it all up and their categories and everything. And we could do it too, but they just do such a good job filtering every single type of play. And they do. They filter it right. Their grades are not right. Just so we're clear on that, PFF. Yeah. Your grades are way off.
Who are the people who are doing the grading?
I don't know that. But and I'm not.
But that's all about who's doing the grading, right?
I mean, I'm just telling you, I don't trust
you. You want a PhD doing it? A PhD of football grading you, or do you want a dropout grading you? I mean, that's exaggeration now. But you know, I mean, who is who? I have no idea. You don't know who
PFF grades?
PFF grades?
They come out really fast, though. I do know that they come out Monday at noon.
I met some dude who was a former baseball pitcher who worked for them at the combine. Real tall dude. I forget his name.
They're doing a really good job with what they do for
you know owns a company
teams. Yeah, he's part owner, Collinsworth.
Yeah, Collinsworth.
But they're doing a really good job with all the things they do for teams, and they're I mean PFF's getting to the point now where they can computerize take whatever route package was on, and the computer will just draw the routes. So coaches would used to always for practice have to go and draw every play
right.
for the scout
the computer
team
will do it.
Those are off though. though it doesn't understand the nuance to the routes. It just understands exactly where the guy went.
Okay.
So you got to be careful with that too. But I do think they're doing a very good job, and they're really taking over. And
for the analytics side, how many teams subscribe to their service?
Well, everyone does.
Everyone does. I remember a couple years ago they didn't.
Because of the way, I don't think anyone really cares in the NFL side about the grades.
Right.
But they do care about the way they cut the film and divide it and the way
we had some incredible stats you showed me. What was that you showed me last week? Third down, what they're going to do on first down?
That's not PFF.
It's not.
That's another NFL site.
Okay.
It's crazy. Like, I have this NFL site. It's called, you can go into it, it's called Play Propensity.
Play Propensity.
And it will tell you on first and 10, their percentage of run pass. First and 10 in the first quarter. First and 10 in the second quarter. First and 10 in the first quarter, up 7 points. Like, you could do this, I can do it fast now. Like, in the game, if we want to do this weekend, you're like, hey, what do they do on first and 10? We can have it up. What are they going to do? Second quarter, we're down three. What's their percentage run pass first and 10? Then you can filter it to the areas that they throw the ball more, the areas they run the ball more. Stats are wild now.
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing.
It's also becoming way easier for teams to not have tendencies. Because 10 years ago...
Oh, you'll blow those out of the water. Yeah,
you
need somebody to figure all that
stuff
out.
Now it's, what are we doing with X, Y, and Z players on the field? It'll tell you all that stuff.
Every single percentage. But you can get bogged down with that and lose feel for the game.
Yeah. The one thing I would say with the PFF that's really becoming, I think, hard for players is they look at the grades. And they don't mean anything. But you get
it means something to that player, that ego.
You get players.
You know more than anybody. You were grading players here for years. Guys would get pissed. And say, oh, cool, he gave me a C.
Oh, no.
You know?
No. They do matter to them individually.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't wrong on my Redskins grades.
You never had a wrong grade.
You give me
ever.
Evaluation of ex-college player somewhere in Omaha.
Omaha.
I'm not as thorough. I don't know exactly what's going on. The Redskins grades, come on. But that's why the players didn't like it.
Because they were true.
That's why I've stopped.
Because they were true.
Because it's like, I don't want to give bad grades.
Stevie, how much time we got left in this podcast? I got to bring something up to Cooley.
We got plenty of time.
Okay.
Let me finish with just this.
Please, because I've saved me some time.
Agents and players now propose these grades to teams in free agency. And when they go, they're like, but PFF graded them an 84 this year.
Oh,
and
God. Come on now.
I'm not coming out.
So those scouts better be pissed.
But those scouts know.
They got to be pissed. They got to know that that's taking food out of their mouth.
But that's where you hope that your department went through all the plays. You know, but then in summary.
Well, no. Before you summarize, if the agent's saying, hey, these guys get them 84, and my guy said, what'd you get them at? And he says, oh, we had them as a 71. Well, just exaggerating. It's a big difference between that score and what your own scout had. So that could keep the scouts honest to some degree to maybe have to do all that work.
Yeah, it could.
No?
But
you're taking a human factor out of it.
Theoretically,
maybe he thinks the guy's a dog.
You're talking about, in a scout's world, a 70 being like a contributing player to a productive starter at an 84. So you're talking about, per position, millions of dollars a year difference.
Drastic difference. So who am I going to believe? I'm making a decision.
Well,
you're
going to believe your own scouting department.
Yeah, because they got the human element.
But to sum all this up.
Yes, sir.
There are so many cool things that we can do in dividing film, and there's so many ways that we can look at it. But when you had to look at that whole reel because you just didn't want to cut it up and you just went through it and watched it, you did see it all. When you had to go look at those old VHS tapes,
you'd never see it.
And you had to fast forward if you didn't want to watch it. If you were going to watch it, you had to watch it.
Days.
Now we can go.
Yeah. You can watch a guy's season in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm talking about like a guy that plays
a lot.
A lot. You can watch his season in a couple hours.
Yeah.
And if that guy doesn't play a lot, you can watch his season in 20 minutes. If a guy plays 12 plays a game, watching tight ends, for example, a lot of run plays on the backside, they'll just release him right out into the flat. Next play. I don't care what he does running out into the flat.
Right.
Next play. Like, it's 10 seconds for that play.
Right.
So
instead of fast forwarding for minutes to get to the right part of the tape.
Enter the Redskins Salute Game Day Sweepstakes presented by Geico Military to win tickets and parking to the Redskins versus the Giants game and a Redskins prize pack. Visit redskins.com/salute Game Day Sweeps to enter. That's redskins.com/salute Game Day Sweeps to enter. 75 tons of game day trash and recyclables need to find a home. So when the final whistle blows, our team hits the field. As an official partner of the Washington Redskins, RTS is connecting FedEx Field with smarter waste solutions. It ensures a more sustainable and responsible approach to what's left behind at the end of the game. RTS, a better waste company. Find out more at RTS.com. All right, you had something that you wanted
to... Yeah, I mean, something happened last road trip that I didn't really run by you, and I wanted to run this by you, and I want to know your opinion on this. And it's got nothing to do with Stefan Choi.
Or cheese curds?
All right, no, or cheese curds. But before the game, I was in the booth next to us where some of our scouts were located, and they saw Jamie raising the window in our broadcast booth. They said, "What are you guys, nuts? Why are you raising the window in the broadcast booth?" I said, "Because I like the window open. I get a feel for the game that way." Mm-hmm. They laughed at me. Mm-hmm. A feel for the game? I do. I have to have the window open. Or I can't really. If I'm in an enclosed room, mm-hmm. almost feels like I'm not at a game. Maybe I was conditioned. You are a broadcaster, and you are a former player. Do you want the windows open or closed? It was cold, but it wasn't that cold.
Closed.
You want the windows closed.
I don't need to hear the. I can't hear the crowd anyway. I've got headphones on.
You'd rather have them closed, or are you just a contrarian? Wanted to go opposite me.
No, I wasn't cold in Green Bay. I had no problem with it. There was a couple games at FedEx where it would get cold, and our old booth especially, your feet would start to get cold.
Yeah, the heating wasn't the best
thing. You know, it wouldn't be the worst thing to not have, but we don't even have windows to open or close.
They take those windows out. So on the road, though, so you think...
I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't need it open. I don't need it closed. I will say this, though. When we played in Miami, we had a booth that was like in Fort Lauderdale. We didn't have a feel for that game.
No,
we were far, far away.
Corner of the end zone, up high, closed booth.
Minnesota as well. Once you're so far away,
yeah.
Then there's no. So I do like a feel for the game to some respect.
There you go. That's all I do. I mean, you can feel in our broadcast booth. You're close enough to feel a hit. Occasionally, you'll feel a hit on the field, right?
Yeah,
pop on the field.
But I think I could see that hit on the field with.
But you can feel it a little bit. You might be able to get a little bit more of a feel. You get a feel for the elements with the window open. You get a feel for the wind. You could say, "Well, there's wind," but you don't know if it's. Closed.
Here's what almost every scout's doing.
What are they doing?
They're saying, I'm going to get about 10% of the information I need from this game, and I'm going to see 90% more when I watch it tomorrow or tonight.
Right.
It's so hard. I don't care who you are. If you don't have four different angles of the play on video, and you know this, it's so hard to catch little things that go on away from the ball.
So we should have a real appreciation of the scouts who literally are watching hours upon hours. I mean, if you're a good scout doing your job, you're watching 5 hours of tape a day?
Mm-mm.
No more?
10.
10 hours of tape a day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, off-season, in-season, 10 hours of tape a day. That's kind of hard to do that, Coley.
I do think, though, and this is where I think the best ones really start to rise up, are the ones that see more and the ones that have a lot of memory. Because I do think if you told me, here, sit down. Your job's to watch 10 hours of tape a day. We'd get through two seasons, and I'd know the league pretty well. Like, I would know innately what Tyler Kroft did in 2019, because as I watch it, even if I'm just watching Tyler Kroft per se, like, I'm getting a feel for the defenses he's playing, who's doing what kind of deal. Like, Sean McVay was always really amazing at that deal. Is like, he watched so much film as a coach, but you'd go back to talk to him about other teams, and he'd list 13 players on that team's defense and the style of defense that played, and he'd know who did what. And it's like that photograph. Like, once you start watching it,
right.
The best ones, I think, really just, it's like they recall it.
Well,
instead of having to review or go back and look at
notes. That's what you can outwork people. Ain't no doubt about that.
But it's not just outworking.
Just, well, you need to know what you're looking at,
too. The ones that you know what you're looking at, but that memory of it.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's always joked that if you said to Sean, like, "Hey, Sean, remember that 2014 season when we played Atlanta?"
Right.
It was, I don't know, second quarter, second down and eight. He'll name the play.
He'll remember the play call.
don't know how far he how far back he can go.
It's like Jack Nicklaus in his shots. That I used to mount. He'd know every shot after this, every single hole, every single shot. He knew exactly. He had it memorized in his computer. You could say 5 years ago. You remember that five iron you hit in at Doral? Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, coming every single shot he ever made. Same thing.
It's crazy. I can remember way more from us calling games
than actually
than
being,
actually
in, the
being
games.
In the games. If that's not.
So it's more recent.
I just lived in the moment, baby. I was going to do this whole thing, and I said I was going to do it in a comparison of what we were in 12 to what Baltimore is. But Baltimore plays tonight, and so I think it'll be relevant tomorrow. So we'll do that tomorrow. I just had one more idea that I wanted to run by you that I was.
Yeah.
It was just sometimes you have these random thoughts, right?
Sure. Random thoughts.
So I'm listening to the radio today, and they're talking about the Anthony Rendon contract.
Yes.
And early in the season, September, I think the Nationals offered him a $210 million contract, something like that. But they were going to defer money.
Right.
And that's something that the NFL really doesn't do a lot of. It might come up in the next CBAs. You can defer it to later.
Yeah.
My random thought was this initially. You know, everyone wants all these guaranteed monies.
Yeah.
Monies. Guaranteed money. I want my
monies. Multiple monies.
Let's just say you had a five-year deal, or let's say six-year deal. We'll make it $10 million for ease here over six. The last three are one and a half, or the last two, you get $1.5 million in each year.
Right.
So that's $3 million total in the last 2 years. Let's say they're both base salaries.
Right.
They're not guaranteed.
Right.
The team, most times when you look at it, ends up releasing that player or renegotiating a new contract.
Okay.
As a player, what if you went in and said, I want interest paid yearly on my last 2 years on my $3 million. Every year, I want to take 5% interest on that last $3 million, only if you cut me. So if you were to cut me, I want 300, I get like whatever.
You get
that
the interest.
Like you get the interest that I at least.
The interest on the money that you lose.
But I've done a little bit more research since I had that initial idea, and essentially that is guaranteed, and that would have to go in the contract up front. They would have to put that into the bonus equation. So realistically, you'd just be getting another $300,000 in bonus or $250,000 in bonus, something like that.
Same difference.
But then the other thing, and this has happened before, I don't know if it's still possible in the league, is you can defer money from a guarantee bonus to any time later in that person's life. So let's say I get a $10 million signing bonus.
Right.
I could take $5 million of that in 2019 and defer like
$5 million payments over 5 years.
So to 2025.
Right.
I'm going to start taking $500,000 a year for the next 10 years. And it can go get paid out in that respect.
That would protect you if you weren't good with your money.
Boom.
Yeah.
So if I... Yeah, exactly.
You
so
know
to all of these
like
agents and stuff, to all these young players, it's not the worst idea in the world. The team's still going to take the hit, but it's also smart. The team's going to protect young players from getting this massive lump sum of money.
I guess you're right. I mean, you know, Iverson has something like that with Reebok, you know. Allen Iverson.
Right.
He had something like he had all this money deferred from his deal with Reebok that he's just getting now. And, you know, obviously you get done with your career, you could use that money.
So the contrarian argument would be that if you gave me the $5 million now and I invested that in Vanguard 60/40, I would make, let's call it 4-7% interest on that money for the next 10 years before instead of deferring it. But the thing is if you're an agent, you know, your player or your mother that knows their son or a team, it's not the worst thing in the world. Can you imagine how many guys would be excited 10 years after their career to start getting part of that bonus? Because $5 million up front, is a lot of money.
You are unique. You are a unique guy. And
I would want
everybody has their unique circumstance of needing to have the money now, and then you have to make that decision. I guess there's a lot of factors that weigh in on something like that if you're a player. You know, I mean.
Well, in a lot of ways, you protect that money from the family, too, because a 22, 23, 24.
Don't start me on that.
26-year-old is going to get this $10 million and feel like they got to give mom a million. They got to give dad this. They got to give their aunt, their cousins. They got to help people. It's really easy to not help people if you say, I don't have it right now. Yeah. We chose to take it 10 years later. And 10 years later, when you get that money, you're not helping anybody.
That's true.
You've grown up and matured enough that
you're going,
this
left is your side.
My money. It's just a thought. If I was an agent with a lot of young players, I would at least suggest it. Now,
you might do that as a kind of a financial advisor. You would suggest put some away in deferred money. You got plenty to live off of. You got plenty to spend. just put that down the road so you don't touch
it. Look, we still, like, we know that you can make an extra $700,000, $800,000 in the next 10 years on this few million or whatever. I'm just throwing numbers out there. I'm not really doing any math.
Round numbers are easier for me to figure out.
Let's say you make another $1 million on the $5 million 8 years from now. I mean, yeah, I get that, but let's say you don't.
Well, that's life is a series of gambles. I mean, come on.
But that takes the gamble out of it. You're still getting the five.
It does,
you're
but
still
you could, the five up but front. You're leaving money on the table though, because you could turn that money into a lot more money.
You're sort of leaving money on the table. What you're doing is you're going to the casino. You've just won $1,000. You said, man, if I was going to win $500 today, I would be really pumped. You then take the $500 of chips off of it, stash it away in your pocket, and go, I'm definitely leaving with this.
Yeah.
Now I can have fun with this.
That too. That's
everybody I know has done that.
Saying it.
Everybody I know has done that. Just look at it as a long term venture.
Not me. I haven't gambled in years, but I just always leave my money there.
So you would like the deferred money?
Yes, you've talked me into it. Where do I sign up?
That said, though, you don't get interest on that money.
No, and I'm not good at that either.
You, in theory, could you not? So that was the Rendon part of it, is they were negotiating interest on the deferred money, though. That would be another thing, is if you could take the
Look,
going...
How could they pay two guys? I don't even know what their salary...
But if you could take the going
two
rate...
Two guys all that money in one year? How do you pay for that?
If you could take the going rate of like 3% or 4% at least and say, look, 10 years later, you pay me the interest on the deferred money?
Wow.
I think everything's negotiable, Larry.
Gerrit Cole, I'll tell you what. How long was Strasburg the highest paid player?
One day. And how much does Strasburg care that Gerrit Cole got more money? He got $36 million.
I don't think you care. I don't think you care. I can't speak for him because I cannot have any idea of standing in his shoes. Of course, I wouldn't say I'd be mad at anybody else, but I'm sure it was. Is it the same agent?
I don't know.
Then you might be pissed at your agent. I didn't do as well.
But here's the thing, like, it's definitely $1 million a year over what nine is. I mean, it's $9 million difference. But Steven Strasburg gets to stay here.
It's all guaranteed money too.
Move. Right. He doesn't have to change lifestyle. He gets to work with the players he's been working with. Like, yep. That's worth some money now.
Yeah, no question.
That's worth some money.
You know, that's good for the franchise.
That highest paid player thing's the dumbest agent thing in the history of time. You got a good deal on the table, and you believe in that deal, and you believe that it's worth what you're worth that, and it's good. Freaking take it.
Shouldn't compare
these players, these dudes, these agents create it. Like, hey, look, so and so got this.
Not for long.
Okay, well, he got this because he was in this situation, and this team needed it, and it was offered this a year ago, and that maybe isn't available for you right now. But this is, so take this. I don't know.
Money Management by Chris Cooley.
It's not really.
It's
just so,
let
me clear all this up as we finish.
Yeah.
Just so I don't sound ludicrous to anyone that thinks, why would you do that? I would not take the deferred money.
Oh, okay.
No, I would take it up front. But what I'm suggesting
is,
if I were an agent to a lot of these players, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I guess depending on the person and what you might expect. You said the family thing before. Don't get me started on that. I'm not going to speak
on the family thing, the other people coming in at you with investments thing, the young players spend more money than they know what to do with thing. Like, all those little things come into play. I also would tell you this, and I'm not going to be an agent, but if I was an agent and got to where I had some really good clients and people desired me, I would make you sign an agreement that you were going to invest your money properly, at least a percentage of it. My goal would be that my players never go broke. Like, we're going to take 30% of your earnings, and we are going to put it in a 70-30 bond to stock account.
There's some boxing
and when you're done playing, because this is only 10, you're 22.
There's some boxing promoters that do that. Not many, but there's some that do take care of their fighters like that. That's the deal
I'd
they
sign.
I'd
be willing to risk a guy not – honestly, that's the smart thing to do. So I just want smart guys. If I got guys that are going crazy with their money, they're probably going to have other problems. I just want to know that some portion of their money was taken care of for their post-football career.
What would the name of your company be? The Chris Cooley Firm?
No.
We'd call it the Chris Cooley Company?
I don't think my name would be in the company.
Chris Cooley Advice? Chris Cooley Consulting, Triple C. CCC, Chris Cooley Consulting.
You know, all these guys do this, too, when they get done. Like, everything's got their name or their... I'd name my gallery the Cooley Gallery, but that's common in galleries.
Call 1-800-47-47-47.
We got 47 agency. Well, there's a lot of 47, so... All right, this was fun. Baltimore tomorrow. Get on to the Eagles.
Eagles. I'll ask you about their tight ends tomorrow.
Okay. Everyone knows about their tight ends.
Who's their third string tight end?
Joe Johnson.
No. Josh Perkins.
No, where's number 81?
He came up. He's got five catches.
Where's number 81?
He's got five catches.
He had two in the last week's
game. From the University of Washington.
I actually did watch last week's game. It was he's number 81.
He's the one player. That was one game he played in.
Yep. He's number 81.
He played wide receiver.
Their running back. That new running back played pretty well for them. And they should have.
Boston Scott? Or Jay Ajayi? Ajayi.
Boston Scott.
Boston Scott.
We might have a running back. We might have a young kid play this week.
Who's that? Josh?
Where's number 36?
Josh Ferguson?
Is that his name?
Well, that's the guy that they brought up. He's 36 in your program, number one in your heart.
He's fun to watch.
Is he?
He's got some stuff to him now.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I haven't seen him. Yeah, I haven't seen him.
This could be fun. I don't know how much to play, but we'll see.
Good.
All right. All that tomorrow.
Later.
That's it. Bye.
Your heart works hard, and sometimes its parts need repair. That's what we do at Inova's Structural Heart Program in Fairfax. With outcomes that exceed the national average, we're a leader in both minimally invasive repair techniques and surgery to address heart valve disease. Give your heart the benefit of care from Inova Heart and Vascular Institute. Find an Inova physician by visiting InnovaHeart.org/valve. Inova. Join the future of health.
At Coke, our 67,000 U.S. employees make things that make your game days better, like fertilizer for greener turf and stronger paper products for tailgating. Viewing the game from your couch? Coke also makes the electronic components and TVs and smart devices so you can watch your Redskins victory anywhere. Coke, we make that. See it all at kochmakesthat.com. That's kochmakesthat.com.
And now, time for another Honda highlight. The air was cold, but the deals were heating up at the Happy Honda Days sales event. With the entire versatile roster on clearance, all signs pointed to victory. Turbocharged tandems like the Accord and Civic, or all-wheel drive SUVs like the CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, and Passport. With clearance pricing, everyone's a champion.
Have your own Honda highlight with a clearance deal during the Happy Honda Days sales event. Now at your local Honda dealer.
You got it. Pick up the pace just a little. Thank you, ma'am. All right, folks, everyone calm down. We're just looking for a spot. Oh, we might have a winner. Row 4, third down on the left, and he rounds the corner. Oh, why? Why are tiny cars allowed in regulation-sized spots?
You could lap the mall parking lot for an eighth time, or avoid the stress and give the gift of holiday scratchers from the Virginia Lottery.